The section that we're reading from this morning is almost the conclusion, last couple of verses from chapter 5. The Srimad part of Srimad Bhagavatam means beautiful. So Srimad Bhagavatam is very beautiful. Just to review, where we ended up yesterday was this Vedic mantra. Prabhupada spent some time in the purport elaborating on that. Where did it go? There it is. Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam Vasudevaya Dhimahi Paramnyaya Nanirudhaya Namah Sankarshanaya Cha. So that mantra, Vedic mantra, beginning with pranava, and included in it is dhimahi. In the commentary of Jiva Goswami, he explains this. He mentioned it on Friday evening, but dhimahi invokes this formal Gayatri Mantra message of a way of fixing the mind by proper Vedic formula. That's okay? Thank you. It's okay? Okay, thank you. So by proper Vedic formula, one fixes one's mind on the personality of Godhead. That verse comes in rhythm or in sequence after Narada's explaining the principle of how contaminated persons, affected, infected by the symptoms of this age of Kali, can become purified by the process of hearing and chanting and directing their consciousness to the personality of Godhead. Then so many details, but as that consciousness becomes awakened, then directing one's activities to the personality of Godhead, supported by or flowing from that hearing and chanting process. So then one can become further purified in senses and in heart through that dedication. Then he uses his own life example to illustrate how this principle applies, and then he goes through one more time and explains how it works and subjectively how he experienced these sequential stages. And then the culmination is Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam Vasudevaya Dhimahi. So when the Sen Prabhupada explains, Krishna is at the center and his aides to camp are on either side, but he's in the center. So we respect Pradumna Aniruddha Sankarshan. Krishna is at the center. And that's where we ended. So we discussed we can't, in practical terms, we can't be on the job. Om Namo. So, but that consciousness needs to be there. And how is that? We discussed how is that consciousness going to be there? It's all dependent upon the quality of our sadhana. And if our quality of our sadhana is very strong, then that consciousness will be awakened. And even we may not be able to vibrate aloud our Vedic mantras. A consciousness will be there. It'll come, spring from the heart. And in even more advanced stages, we're going to hear that next. Nard is going to summarize. One sees the personality of Godhead. We'll hear. So that's coming up. Now this is for ordinary people, not just like Vedic scholars or great renunciates or like, you know, Superman or something. It's for ordinary people. Text 38. That's some appreciation. I'm going to read the Sanskrit because there's some nice ornaments in the Sanskrit itself. Alliteration and repetition of phrases that can have different meanings, and our acharyas are rendering them. This way it's good, that way it's also good. And it's just like beautiful. So, iti, thus. So now it's like, this is a conclusion. Nard is putting a ribbon on the whole packaging. A nice little curl and ribbon. Iti, murti, abhidhanena, mantra, murtim, amurtikam. Yajate yajna purusham sa samyak darshana pungsam. So murtim and murtihi and amurtikam, each having different meanings. Translation, how Prabhupada has rendered it. Thus, he is the actual seer. That's samyak darshanam. Samyak means perfectly, darshanam. We can perfectly see, the actual seer, factual seer. So what's the goal of our mantra chanting? What's the goal of our life and devotion to Krishna? It's to actually see Krishna. Not like just to be pious. To actually see Krishna. I mean, be pious, yes, but that's not to keep going. Oh, get out of, you know, our struggles and mental turbulence and, okay, that's nice, keep going. Accept Krishna as your master, yes, keep going. Dedicate things to Krishna, yes, keep going. What's the goal? Samyak darshanam, perfectly see Krishna. Just like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in the verses of the beginning verses of the ninth chapter, the most confidential knowledge, Krishna says that this knowledge gives one direct perception of the self. Direct perception. Pratyaksha avadamam dharmyam. Pratyaksha means direct seeing. Directly seeing, you can't see the soul, it's too small. But directly seeing spiritually, then you don't need high magnification. You just need purity. Then Krishna can be seen. The soul can be seen. Krishna can be seen. The relationship between the soul and Krishna can be seen by spiritual qualification. And the Bhagavat message is to make us so qualified. It's really wonderful. I mean, it's like we're getting this spiritual technology here. And Prabhupada even uses that type of language. You'll see. So, thus he is the actual seer who worships in the form of transcendental sound representation the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, who has no material form. actual seeing. So that's our goal. Actual seeing, experiencing with spiritual vision. Like the verse from Brahma Samhita, where Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vibhochanena Santaksa Daiva Hridayesho Vibhokayanti Yam Shama Sundra Machintu Ganasvarupam. Same message, directly seeing. Directly seeing. It's like worth repeating it so many times because that's really the message. To be in a relationship with Krishna. To know factually by direct experience. So here's, there's three parts of the verse and Prabhupada breaks it down in the purport. What does this actual seeing mean? He writes, this experience is not a vague and personal experience. It is actually an experience of the transcendental personality of Godhead who possesses the pure form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. Then later in the purport, the transcendental form of eternal bliss and knowledge can be experienced by our original spiritual senses, which can be revived by chanting the holy mantras or transcendental sound representations. But he means it. Shukadev Goswami means it. Vyasadeva means it. Narada means it. Prabhupada means it. The sound of Krishna's name and Krishna are non-different. Prabhupada was just listening yesterday. Prabhupada was describing from Queen Kunti's prayers. She was describing how by Krishna's placing his transcendental lotus feet upon this earth, everything became opulent. And now she was lamenting, you're going away. You're leaving Hastinapur and going to Dwaraka. Then Prabhupada explained that Krishna's presence is also made possible just by this Sankirtan process. We should not think that Krishna was present 5,000 years ago, not possible now because Krishna has gone away. But through sound representation, Krishna becomes present and all the features of Krishna's presence. The earth becomes very pleased and Mother Earth supplies. Say it the other way around. Kali Yuga would so rapidly advance were it not for the presence of the chanting of the holy name. It's not something boastful, it's something scriptural. This manifests Krishna's presence. And so we ourselves, through the chanting that we do each day, the chanting of our rounds, and the performance of Sankirtan, brings us in direct contact with Krishna. And then the whole process flows, that consciousness, the covering, just all the things that Narada was describing previously, that the covering of ignorance, of accepting this body and mind as who I really am, that covering is awarded to the conditioned soul who's rebellious to Krishna. Just give up that rebelliousness, false independent spirit, awakened by the chanting of transcendental sound vibrations. And then we can feel relief. And then we're going to hear, sequentially, things start to happen. On the transcendental plane, things start to happen. So now it's just, this is the spiritual technology of how it works. Such sound should be received from the transparent agency of a bona fide spiritual master, and the chanting may be practiced by the direction of the spiritual master, like Narada, hearing from Lord Brahma, or Vyas, hearing from Narada, I mean, if it applies to those level of personalities, certainly it applies to our level of practice. Then he explains this method of worship, because in the Yajate, Yajna Purusham, Yajate means worship. This method of worship is mentioned in the Pancharatrika system. Not only mentioned, it's recommended. So the Pancharatrika system is a Vedic process that we follow. There are these two parallel systems, the Vaidika and Pancharatrika system. We follow the Pancharatrika system, and it's equally authorized as the Vedic system, although people may know it less, but it's equally authorized, and that's the system that supports this process that we follow and is mentioned specifically here in this whole chapter, explaining the Bhagavad Dharma following. So they're equal. One is saying the same thing as the other thing, and they're both Vedic. The process of hearing and chanting and glorification of the Personality of Godhead is what qualifies a soul to perform Vedic sacrifices. Those things that are Vedic. But the qualification doesn't come by lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes and lifetimes of flawlessly performing rituals. That's the staircase method. This is the elevator method that we're following. Hearing and chanting directly about the Personality of Godhead. It's authorized, it's recommended, which is both recognized and authorized. The Pancharatrika system has the most authorized codes for transcendental devotional service. Without the help of such codes, one cannot approach the Lord, certainly not by dry philosophical speculation. The Pancharatrika system is both practical and suitable for this age of quarrel. Then he goes further and says the Pancharatrika is more important than the Vedanta for this modern age, because that Vedic system requires, among other things, qualified brahmanas who can perfectly, flawlessly execute all of the Vedic mantras. And there has to be purity of consciousness to do that. Not just, you know, they can precisely pronounce the syllables with the proper meter and so on. It requires all of the purified statuses, including all the sangskaras, which assist in that purification, minus garbhadharan sangskara. If you make a calculation mistake in the beginning of an extended math formula, all the rest of the calculations are going to be wrong. So that, from the very outset, the proper performance of the sangkaras, minus that, we don't have qualified brahmanas. Therefore, the Vedic statement in this age of Kali, we don't have qualified brahmanas. Although they may be, by seminal examination, born within brahmana families. That's the Vedic conclusion. Therefore, this Pancharatrika system is better. I'll go backwards. The Pancharatrika system is based upon hearing transcendental sound, but the qualification of hearing that transcendental sound is it's coming through this disciplic succession and then guided in its application by the same. Just as Narada is doing with Vyasa. So that's this Samyak Darshana portion of the verse. The second is this alliteration or repeating of the word Murti. Murti. So in the purport, Prabhupada explains, in the Amarakosha Sanskrit dictionary, the word Murti carries import in twofold meanings, namely form and difficulty. So the form of transcendental sound, like nama rupa or nama murti. So it's the form, sound also has form. Isn't it? That's how the whole principle of broadcasting television and things like that. It's by sound vibration, whoop, and then some satellite captures it and bounces it back, then you have it on your screen. Form through sound. So Prabhupada explains, that's how it works. A person transmitting sound from a far distant place can be factually experienced. Cool, huh? Our present senses are made of material elements, and therefore they are imperfect in realizing the transcendental form of Lord Vishnu. He is therefore worshipped by sound representation via the transcendental method of chanting. Anything which is beyond the scope of experience by our imperfect senses can be realized fully by sound representation. Then he gives the example. A person transmitting sound from a far distant place can be factually experienced. If this is materially possible, why not spiritually? Yes? There's somebody in a distant place, and they, you know, they call us on our telephone. Hi, Bo. And we're not seeing them, but we're experiencing them. But spiritual sound, there's also form. So there's, you know, there's the audio, but there's also the video. So what's the transmitter and the receiver of spiritual sound, the form of spiritual sound? Prabhupada explained, it's the heart. It's not like Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, chanting is not lip deep, it's heart deep. This is one of the phrases that Satyanandan Swami likes to repeat in his japa retreats. Not lip deep, but heart deep. So what's that receiver? I remember once Vishnu John asked Prabhupada, like Prabhupada was explaining the same example. So he asked, what's the receiver? What's that equipment? So the instrument of broadcasting is the tongue, but the source of what inspires devotional chanting is the heart. And then that's the transmitter, and the receiver is the heart of the receiver. So because, what's that verse in the second canto? It describes that transcendental vibration is received through the ear and goes directly into the chamber of the heart. There's a channel, Prabhupada describes, directly from the ear. It can go to the brain, but it can also go to the heart. Just like register, scientists can do little experiments. You hear something and there's some activity in the brain. But it also goes to the heart. And sarodaham, it cleanses the heart. Vidunoti suritsitam. Ashamalam krishnaha. So, pravishta karna randrena. Svanam bhava sarodaham. That's the verse. Karna means ear. Pravishta enters. Pravishta karna, randrena, the hole in the ear. That means, that's very explicit. Svanam bhava sarodaham. It awakens transcendental emotion if properly heard. Dhunoti shamalam krishnaha. Dhunoti. It cleanses the heart of all amalam, of all impurities. Sanam bhava sarodham, just like autumn rain settles all the mud in the pools of water just by contact. Light rain contacting the pools of water, the mud settles quickly to the bottom. The impurities of the heart are removed by this process of hearing. It directly acts upon the heart. So that's what, so taking that metaphor and applying it to this chapter 5, Narada is explaining the spiritual technology. When the chant, when the transcendental sound, Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam Vasudevaya Dhimi, when that's heard properly, things start to happen. The coverings are removed and the awakening of the dormant consciousness, the feelings of transcendental ecstasy, direct contact with the Lord is experienced of the form of the Lord in sound. Very nice. So then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that's the one of the Amarakosha dictionary meanings of Murti is form, the other is difficulty. So Amurtikam means it's what happens without difficulty. No problem, as we say these days. No problem, Prabhu. No problem. Although it can also mean he has no material form. That means like this sound vibration is not a material sound, because material sound can't give you experience like the chanting of the holy name can give you. Take any syllables, the conventional Coca-Cola example, or whatever syllables you like. Take any mundane sound, and how long can somebody sing that song? They got to have another song after some time. They get tired of it. They maybe will go back to the oldies, but they, you know, you have to have another one and another one. The Hare Krishna mantra or Vedic mantras are such that they enliven the soul. It's not acting on the platform of the mind only or the intelligence only. It's directly acting on the platform of the soul. It awakens the attraction, and the attraction for Krishna that becomes awakened. He's unlimitedly attractive, and so one can chant endlessly. And doesn't become hackneyed, etc. It's not just, you know, the melodies are nice. Although, you know, there's a science to raga also. Melodies are nice. But it's not just because they're nice melodies. It acts on the platform of the soul. That's the science of it. And one goes deeper and deeper. That's in the next verse. Very nice. Here's text 39. There's only 40 slokas in chapter 5, so text 39. Imam. Now it's another thus. Sva nigamam Brahman. Sva nigamam means the confidential knowledge of the Vedas. Sva nigamam. So he spoke, Narada spoke about, he heard from these sages, the Bhaktivedantas, just before they left, confidential portion of Vedic wisdom. That is, what's that confidential portion? We know from chapter 9, Bhagavad Gita, it's the devotional service of the Lord. And the confidential portion of that confidential knowledge, manmana bhava mad bhakto. And Prabhupada in the purport discloses even the confidential portion of that confidential portion of the confidential knowledge is Krishna wants us to come to him. It's not just we're on our own to think of Krishna. Okay, it's me against the forces of material nature. Who's going to win? We know who's going to win. Material nature is going to win. But the Krishna factor is there. Krishna wants. You just connect with that love of Krishna. And zoom, 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 you're there. At once, you're there. And one who is convinced of that factually can feel Krishna lifting them through this hearing and chanting process. Krishna carries them. It's ecstatic. This is the science of how it works. And it's experienceable by those who are faithful. And Narada is laying out, here's the science of how it works. Imam sva nigamam brahman avetya mad anushtitam adan me jnana aishvaryam svasmin bhavam chakeshavaha. So he's laying out here, what is this seeing? That's samyak darshanam. What's that? Seeing factually. So this verse is laying out, there are stages of that seeing factually. Here's the stages. O Brahmana, so Narada addressing Vyas. Thus, by the Supreme Lord Krishna, I was endowed first, so it's sequence 1, 2, 3, first, with the transcendental knowledge of the Lord as inculcated in the confidential parts of the Vedas. So he was trained, he was purified, he was prepared, and then this confidential part of the Vedic knowledge the sages gave him. But he didn't just like, okay, now I have some more information in my information basket, let me keep walking down the street. He applied it. It went into his heart. And then with spiritual opulences. So the spiritual opulences of Krishna. He knew about the process of devotional service and he connected with Krishna, the personality of Godhead, while moving about. Narada, and as in his previous life, the sages left, his mother died, and then he just wandered here and there. But not aimlessly and, you know, feeling beat up and hurt. He was connecting with the personality of Godhead while experiencing all varieties of life, like we experiencing so many different varieties of life. But his consciousness was fixed upon the personality of Godhead. And so he felt the experience of the Lord's opulences, and in the purport Prabhupada explains, this means even the mystic opulences become the decorations of a devotee. But the devotee isn't just interested in the opulences of the Lord or even manifesting mystic opulences oneself. They're not interested, although those endowments may come. They're interested in a relationship, loving relationship with the personality of God. So keep going, Narada. So then he says, and then with his intimate loving service. So now all of this process is devotional service. All of this is devotional service, but his svasmin bhavam cha keshava. He experienced ecstasy in that relationship, the happiness, transcendental happiness of exchanging affectionate dealings with the personality of Godhead while he was moving about as a young boy, experiencing cities and forests and agricultural fields and mines and everything in the world. He didn't just stay cloistered in a cave somewhere. He was moving about, but connected always with the personality of Godhead and chanting his mantra, the mantra that he had been given by the sages, and performing his practices. Just like, you know, the context of time and circumstance is different then and now, the principle isn't different. I was thinking about this morning. Your householders, or some students, but householders. So your duties of life are different. And I'm a sannyasi. But I have to do so many things as a sannyasi that really, you know, in a classical sense, sannyasi has no business doing. you know, dealing with situations of child abuse and sexual abuse, pastoral abuse, you know, money matters and, you know, lawsuits and, you know, disputes between people and, you know, all kinds of yucky things. So I could say, you know, forget it, guys. You know, I'm a sannyasi and having nothing to do with this business. But when, of course, according to individuals, but Prabhupada, remember once said, Srupa Maharaj, when he took sannyas, so he asked Prabhupada, now that I've taken sannyas, so I can stop all management, right? And Prabhupada said, no, now you manage in detachment. So, but, you know, he gave different instructions for different individuals, but it's the order of the spiritual master that's the operative principle. It's not this activity, that activity. Certainly there are things that are absolutely inappropriate for anyone to do and also for sannyasis to do, and those things that are not to be done. Intimate dealings with women and so on. But as far as practical service, I'm facing challenges in practical service as you're facing practical challenges in service, or challenges in practical service that you're doing as householders. And the principle is, how do you stay fixed? Transcendentally fixed. The principle is non-different. The principle is just being laid out. Like, here it is. Here's the technology. Here's what to do and here's how it works. Okay, guys. Apply yourselves. And ladies, apply yourselves. And then this is the samyak darshanaha. This is the factual seeing, and it's unfolds in stages. So we'll go through those three stages again mentioned here. There's ones that precede it, the qualifying, purifying, the stages of realization, the faithfulness, the submission, the control of the senses, hearing with great eagerness, invoking the special mercy of qualified, realized souls, and so then they delivered the most confidential part of the Vedic knowledge unto Narada. That's the first. And he acted within it, like Shrinvanti, Gayanti, Grinanti. He brought it within his heart. Then he experienced the Lord in all of his activities of life and experienced the opulences of the Lord and became decorated with opulences of the Lord. And he kept going. Not like, oh, this is great. Now I'm at the top of the mountain. I got all these opulences. That wasn't his interest. His interest was personal, intimate service with the Lord. And so he was awarded. Here's Prabhupada's wonderful purport. Communion with the Lord by transmission of the transcendental sound is not different from the whole spirit, Lord Sri Krishna. It is a completely perfect method for approaching the Lord by such pure contact with the Lord without offense of material conceptions. Small item, right? But I underlined material conceptions. The essence of the offenses, you analyze carefully the offenses one by one by one, and each one of them is taking something that's transcendental and bringing it down to the material platform. The devotee, the name, the spiritual master, the scriptures, the glories of the holy name, the sins, the fact that the holy name eradicates sins, so bring it down to a karmakanda ritual. We take this up so we can counteract getting dirty through our dirty material activities. That's not what the holy name is meant for. Committing sins and the strength of chanting. It's bringing down to the material platform. So free one, get onto the spiritual conception of the devotees and the scriptures and the name and the glories and becoming beyond sin, beyond non-bound by the reactions of your material activities to the transcendental position. Think, carry a spiritual conception of what this chanting is, because that's what this Om Namo Bhagavate Tubhyam verse is. It's Nara's ecstatic. Now he's explaining. Why that ecstasy? Because these stages he's experienced and sharing that with Vyas. The devotee can rise above the material plane and understand the inner meaning of the Vedic literatures, including the Lord's existence in the transcendental realm. Okay, that's understanding. Then the Lord reveals his identity gradually to one who has unflinching faith, both in the spiritual master and in the Lord. After this, the devotee is endowed with mystic opulences, which are eight in number, and above all, the devotee is accepted in the confidential entourage of the Lord. Welcome home. Here's your service. And is entrusted with specific service to the Lord through the agency of the spiritual master. So Narada, Prabhupada says, has explained all of this from his own personal experience. It's not theoretical. And one can attain all the facilities which Sri Narada obtained by perfecting the chanting process of the sound representation of the Lord. Well, just like the discussion yesterday, so many, you know, how to, what about this? Everything rests upon how we chant the holy name and how we hear the message of the scripture. The chapter ends, I'm not going to go into it, but the last verse of this chapter is Narada instructs Vyas, please, therefore, describe the Almighty Lord's activities. So the description of the Lord's activities found in Srimad Bhagavatam is the very nice companion, very natural companion with the chanting of the holy name, because along with the Lord's activities, there's nice instructions about how one should lead one's life, how the Lord protects his devotee, just like today. We need not fear. The Lord will protect us. Even in the most heinous of aggressive efforts from the demons, the Lord's protection will be there. When we were in Mayapur, one devotee was circulating this little book that he had written. I think the title of the book is something like Salted Bread. It's one of the Russian devotees that was imprisoned, and he survived for 2 years eating only bread once a day. And the bread was like not the kind of bread we have. It was this horse bread, like from grains that were just undigestible. So the only way he could digest it was he put salt on the bread. This is the cover of the book is Salted Bread. She sees a picture of he's got his hands in handcuffs, and how much faith he had in Krishna, even to survive. He could have said, okay, I give up Krishna. Let me out of here. He didn't. How strong is our determination to stay faithful to Krishna? He was tortured. Practically, you know, others lost their life, and he practiced. So I met him. Big smile, very happy devotee. How deep was his faith? And now today, how deep is his faith? And what a testimony he presents of faith, just to like, without even knowing the details, just understand what torture he went through, like Prahlad. But he was feeling the Lord's protection, even in very, very, very dire circumstance. And it's not that you know, bad things can never happen. Like those who went to the Festival of Inspiration and heard Radhanath Maharaj's explanation of Haladini, who was killed in Africa when a gang came and killed all the men where she was, wherever she was, Lagos, someplace like that. So even our life may be taken, but let us not, with faith, let us not cross over the platform of offensiveness to the personality of Godhead in the form of His holy name. And where is that soul gone? Where was her consciousness when the body was taken? No question. She's with Krishna, serving Krishna. If only we can be so sure of our destination after this life. By offenseless chanting and having great faith in this process. So this chapter 5 is nurturing that faith. And the whole of the Bhagavatam is nurturing that faith, because that's Vyasa's instruction. Or Narada's instruction to Vyasa. Very nice. Srimad Bhagavatam is definitely Srimad. Very, very beautiful. So, any questions? Yes. They were in the intense period of communist rule in Russia. So if you didn't give up your faith in God, you were put in jail. It's pretty demoniac, right? That's what was going on at the time. The government saw it as a cause of unrest in controlling the population. If people grew in their faith without restriction from the government, it could give a problem to the stability of the government, so they just put people in jail. Like a Kamsa-like thing. That's what was going on. Something else? Yeah?
In the Vedic system, is there also initiation in Parampara? Or is it only in Pancharatri system?
I don't know so much about that. I would assume so, but I don't know so much about that.
So my question is, like in Mahabharata or Srimad Bhagavatam, we don't specifically hear about someone got initiated in Parampara.
That's
specifically.
Right. So I can't elaborate because I don't know. I don't know. Something else? Anyone? Okay.
You said like the murti, like this was like a part of like, there are like two things, like form and difficulty.
Yes.
What is the difficulty part means?
Narada is saying that one who takes the form of the holy name as the way of reaching the Supreme, one can accomplish that amurtikam without difficulty. He who is difficult to attain is attained without difficulty. Through the sound representation, in that form, the Lord can be approached without difficulty. Anything else? Yeah. Yeah.
How can we think, or what should be the ethic, this conception of devotees taking their living with them? How should we think of this people conception? What should we think?
Your question is, I want to make sure I got your question right. When we're dealing with devotees, how should we see the devotees without material conception? Well, there's several things. One of them is we shouldn't see their devotees according to their place of birth. We shouldn't see according to their color or according to their intellectual capacity. Here's a, you know, we can recognize Krishna may have decorated this devotee is very scholarly. So that's nice. This devotee is a great singer. This devotee is really actually a deity. So we can appreciate the ornaments, but the essence of that devotee is their devotion to Krishna. We should see on the spirit, on the soul platform. This devotee is particularly empowered to do something. That's spiritual, but not just by material designation. This is a Brahmana Vaishnava and that's a Shudra Vaishnava kind of thing. Or you know, on the negative side, not say somebody is a sincere devotee and there's some shortcoming. We don't focus on the shortcoming. The pock mark on the moon kind of thing. At fault find, yeah, they're a devotee, but we try to see the soul and in a mood of service as a Vaishnav, because there's a soul trying to dedicate themselves to serving Krishna, how to be in service to bring that soul to closer to Krishna and free from the hindrances or the limitations that are impeding their approaching Krishna. And even if it's some very bad thing, we try to see there inside, there's this devotion to Krishna. Now, the behavior may be very bad, and we don't proof of the bad behavior, but we should see the devotion to Krishna that's there. Like the Christian saying, you condemn the sin but not the sinner. The behavior may be very bad. We don't like bad behavior. We don't see the person according to that behavior. We see the person according to their relationship with Krishna. Otherwise, if we don't heed that, we're opening ourselves to seeing with material vision. And as soon as you're on that platform, you're opening yourself up for making offenses. So if somebody else is making offenses, we don't get down and dirty and start making offenses back or seeing it with material vision back. That's not recommended. We try to see with spiritual vision. Something else? Done?
Maharaj, what are the factors which bring transformation when we hear?
We went over this yesterday. We'll listen to the classes from yesterday. It's eagerness, it's submission, respect, effort, wishing to receive mercy, being prepared to apply that which we hear. Opening of the heart, those are some of the factors which we discussed. Okay. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.